And so as I'm reading this book and as I'm going through the self-centeredness, I then ask myself, what would make a good friend that creates strong interpersonal relationships?
Welcome to What I Love About Sex, where some incredible guests and I, Steph Kanowski, will be bringing you the tools for improving your sex life with topics such as sex issues with your partner, sexual self-confidence, premature ejaculation, sexual shame, masturbation, sharing your fetishes, orgasmic pleasure, and more. Sex is still so taboo, and I personally believe that by improving our understanding and communication skills around sex, we can enhance our own self-pleasure as well as deepening our long-term romantic relationships. So listen in, try to stay open-minded, and let's get started.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode on the What I Love About Sex podcast. So there's so much I want to talk about and unravel, and it comes from this book, The Courage to Be Disliked. I believe this book would help so many of you because you're wanting to improve yourself. You're wanting to move past your own bullshit that gets in your way. You're wanting to strengthen your relationship with your partner and your family and friends, and you want to grow, right? And sometimes, all the time, when you want to grow, you have to confront the things that are holding you back. Otherwise, how do you move forward when you have these blocks in the way, right? You'll just keep running into the blocks. And we see these blocks as habits in our life, as anxiety, like certain thoughts that just keep happening. Maybe we see the blocks as like a certain family member that steers us the wrong way over and over again, and they won't change. So you have the same reaction. And we kind of see these blocks as, if only these weren't there, I could do this. And we also see feeling blocks. You know, I mentioned the anxiety. If only I didn't feel this way, I could do this. And this book is really teaching me that we've really grown in a society that teaches us through modern day therapy, using the backbone of Freudian psychology, that it's a cause and effect. You know, if that happened to you, then it makes you this type of person. And sometimes I think it's fine to be like, oh, I'm a Pisces. That's why I like water. Like, that's why we're friends, whatever. But when you take it seriously to the point of, this happened to me, or I'm this type of person, therefore I can't do X, Y, or Z, that's when it's detrimental to your growth as an individual. And that's when you actually put the blocks on yourself and you actually refuse to move them because you're like, I'm this way because of this reason. The end. There's no, when you give yourself that excuse or that concrete reason for why you are the way that you are, and you believe that, okay, well, that's how it's going to be because this happened to me. So now I'll never be able to do that. Like, there's no moving on from that when you think that way. It's not to say that you can't look back and be like, this really changed my life in a way that it makes it difficult for me to do X, Y, or Z, but I'm going to continue working on it regardless, right? That's a growth mindset. You're talking about it differently. You have a different understanding. You're not seeing it as a block. Maybe you're seeing it more as like a, what's it called? Just like, you know, a challenge in the way, like a rocky path, whatever. But we have to be mindful of the way we perceive things and what we tell ourselves. You know, I talked a lot about the power of self-talk in the last episode, but whenever you give yourself an excuse for something, it automatically shuts off the curiosity part of your brain that tries to figure out a solution. When you're like, well, like I am because of this and that's that, you know, like your brain isn't looking for answers then because you're not allowing it to. You're saying we can't do this because of that. And that already happened. So, okay, I guess we can't do it. Be mindful of that and how you use the word I can't or the phrase I can't, how you tell yourself you can't do something because of a trauma from your past or because You feel the certain way. Feelings aren't necessarily truth, right? They're just there. And we have the ability to take action regardless of feelings. So therefore, feelings are not the truth. They're just there. They're a reaction we have to something, but they don't limit us. And in our personal relationships, what this book talks about is they are the source of all of our unhappiness, or the source of our unhappiness, and also the source of our happiness. And this is something I haven't realized until recently, like the power of interpersonal relationships and how everything revolves around them. Because as a society, we only feel certain things and only act on certain things because of our community, right? Like, for instance, we wouldn't feel lonely if there was no one else on earth. Even if we were alone, we wouldn't have the feeling of loneliness if there were no other humans around, right? So our feelings, the way we interpret, you know, feeling isolated or lonely or sad is only because of what we see, who we see around us. This showed me the importance of what are your connections like with other people? And when you do feel very unhappy or unsatisfied or unfulfilled with life, what's going on in your interpersonal relationships? Because that's what it has to do with. And I was like, holy shit, like this is so true. So it's really made me understand how I view my relationships, how I show up as a friend, as a family member, as a girlfriend, how I show up to my community, you know, remembering that whatever I'm paying for, whatever act of kindness I do to a stranger on the street, like that shit matters. And we forget that. But anyway, I wanted to stress the importance of relationships. This is something that I struggled with my entire life. Like since I was a kid, friendship specifically. So since I was a kid, I felt like I was a loser. I sat at the table with only two other girls and all the other tables were packed, you know, so I felt like a reject. I didn't get the best grades, so I felt like I was behind in terms of my intelligence. I didn't think I was pretty. I was pretty awkward most of my childhood and felt like the ugly girl. It's actually amazing when I think back of how young I was when I was questioning these things. I was like 8 or 9. Definitely probably 8, 7 even. I remember being in like first grade thinking, why does that girl have a lot of friends and I don't? And that's so young to be curious about, you know, now that I look back, I'm like, holy shit, like little kids are really putting together all the pieces. And we think they're just like, tra-la-la, like, you know, just like doing their thing, but they're really trying to figure out who they are. And so much can grow from that moment of feeling like I'm a loser, I'm a reject, you know, like I must be stupid, I must be weird, I must be different in a way that I don't fit in and that's not good, you know. So I've realized that I've had that past and I've always used that past as an excuse. I would always, even in my adulthood, like up until fucking now, like I would tell people, oh yeah, well, I have a hard time making really close friends because when I was a kid, blah, 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 blah. And by me telling that story over and over and using that story as an excuse, it's not helping me. It's just validating myself by saying, yeah, it's okay, you don't make meaningful connections now because when you're a kid, it didn't happen. So you learn that. The end. Like, that's terrible because I'm not the person who wants to be okay with that. And all my life, it was funny because I was talking to my sister the other day and how much I've changed even in the last year around this concept. And my sister was like, yeah, I feel like you've always been craving that, but it was just not happening. But you've always had a craving. And it was interesting to know that she even recognized that craving. And Andrew told me, you know, there's some people who are totally okay with having, you know, one good friend, two good friends, and just, you know, some other people in their life. And they want to like chill by themselves most of the time. And that's truly their ideal life. And that's totally fine. But he's like, there are also people who have one to two close relationships and they want so much more, but they're feeling blocked by it. And that's not a happy, fulfilled person. And that would describe me. I was never satisfied with just a few close relationships. And I would tell myself, oh, like you're just an introvert. You're the type of person who, you know, only has a few close friends because when you were a kid, blah, 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 blah. And the story just replayed so much and it didn't help me. It just kept me in the place of having one to two relationships and other relationships that were not strong and were not compatible. And I've just tolerated them because, you know, because that's the type of life I live because of my past. So this book has really drawn out the fact that, hey, forget about your fucking past. It doesn't matter right now. Your life is determined at this exact point. You don't have to use cause and effect. You don't have to say, oh, this is this way because of that. And therefore, that's how it is. No. Sure, I had a past like that, but it doesn't determine what I choose to do at this exact point in time. I can think about it drastically differently. I could think about my interpersonal relationships and moving forward with them completely different than I did up until now to the age of 33. I can make changes now, you know, and people talk about, oh, like you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And like, I don't even know if that saying's used anymore, but like there's probably a new saying for it where you're too old to make changes. I've even had clients come to me and be like, is it possible for me at the age of 47 to actually change my communication? You know, most people say you can't teach older people new ways because most older people, you know, let's say past the age of 30. Oh my God, I'm old. No, but older, you know, like when once you're past the obvious stages of full brain development, we get stuck in our ways unless we push ourselves to grow and get outside of our comfort zone. But that takes effort. That takes conscious effort to be like, I don't like the way I do this in my life. I know I'm not living to my fullest here. I know I have so much more in me to give. I know I want to have relationships that feel different and that are different. Therefore, I want to change this part of me. You know, there's not a lot of people who are actually doing that and who are curious enough to open up their way of thinking and actually changing and feeling that discomfort once you're at a certain age with a certain group of people around you in a certain environment, in a certain job, you've been stable. You know, it is much harder, but it is not impossible. You just have to really want it. And this is something I've really wanted. Therefore, I'm not going to say, oh, it's going to be so hard to change my ways. I'm just going to be super disciplined about catching myself and changing the way I treat people in my life. Because when you take it one step at a time, whether it's with cultivating new friendships, whether it's starting a strong relationship from the ground up with your wife that you've never had in 20 years, you can start right now. You can start today. And also be cautious of those voices in your head that tell you, oh, well, it's too late for this. Or that would be so weird. That would be awkward if you just started doing this. You never do this. She's going to be like, what the fuck are you doing? She's going to be like, who are you? What are you, weird? Like, she'll make fun of you. That will be so weird. You know, you think about the feelings that are attached to it, and then it prevents you from doing the thing you know is going to make a better future for you and for her. We too often listen to our feelings or fear our feelings instead of just taking the action, knowing that it's the right action to take. The biggest smack in the face this book gave me so far was that it was funny because Andrew and I were partying the last weekend. We went to my first EDM festival, which was awesome. And the day after, I just had a very clear-headed mindset. So I was like, all right, in the morning, I just grabbed this book, The Courage to Be Disliked, sat down in my chair, and I grabbed my notes and I started going through it. And this is a book I only can read so much for so long, like once a week. And then I put it down and I think about what I learned and I read other books in the meantime, because there's just too much packed in this book that I don't want to skim through it. And I want to do it right. You know, I'm actually really learning from it. Like, it was so profound what I was learning. And it was like, wow, this is what you've been doing wrong all your life because you've given yourself the excuse of you're not good at making friends. And what that part of the book was, it was talking about self-centeredness and what makes a self-centered individual when it comes to interpersonal relationships. Now, I still don't want to admit that I'm a self-centered person. But according to the description in this book, I am when it comes to my relationships. I am self-centered. And as I'm like reading it, I'm like crying. And I'm like, not like hardcore, but just like tears where I'm like, wow, like that's rough, you know? Because it was so true. It just rang true for me, like the description. So here was a part that really hit, because it said, to build strong relationships, or here are my notes. To build strong relationships, I need to make the switch from attachment to self to concern for others. And the self-centeredness talked about, like, what are you thinking about when you initiate conversation with new people? What's on your mind when you reach out to friends? And what came up for me was I think more in new groups of people when I'm introducing myself and when I'm, you know, just starting a conversation. What's going on in my head, which is very obvious, I don't even have to think twice about this, is what are they thinking of me right now? And are they judging me? Do they think I'm weird? And I never realized I was so like actually thinking about this instead of being concerned for the person in front of me, being curious about the person in front of me. It was always overpowered by, I wonder if they think this is weird. I wonder if I should have said that. Did I just overshare? Oh, that was so awkward. Why did I do that? And I just noticed myself having like all these flashbacks of like, wow, this is what I think about when I first start talking to new people. And I think what I've done recently, especially with this job of being a sexologist for men, you know, one of the first things people ask is, what do you do? And I think that I've even used my job as a crutch to come across interesting, to maybe come across cool, because it is cool and it is interesting. So I kind of lean on that to be the lead in conversation, which it ends up being because people just ask question after question. I'm very confident in my job, so I am very confident answering any question and being open to more questions. But what that does is it puts a block on me actually sharing about me. And therefore, all the conversations are around my job. They're not actually about me. They're not allowing me to go deeper with the person in front of me because all the questions are thrown at me around my job. And it prevents me from connecting because I lean into that and I continue with that and I don't make the conscious flip to put the focus on the person and to take the focus off my occupation. So even with that, and it's funny because the last couple of years I've been telling myself, wow, you got better at talking to people and being social. But now that I look back, I haven't gotten better at like actually connecting with people. I've gotten better with talking with people because I talk about my job and I'm very proud of my job and I'm very excited to do my job. So I enjoy sharing about it. And there's nothing wrong with me sharing about my job, but when it's basically running the whole conversation and I'm not actively connecting with the person in front of me, it's just surface level talking about my job, then what are the chances that we're going to continue a friendship? They're slim to none. So even ask yourself, am I putting something in the way so that people can't really get to know me and how I'm doing? And am I putting a block in the way of getting to know someone else so that I can actually deepen relationships with my partner or with other people? In my notes, I said, why am I only interested in myself? People who are obsessed with a desire for recognition will seem to be looking at other people while they are only looking at themselves. They lack concern for others and are only concerned with the I. Therefore, they are self-centered. I think I care so much what people think of me because I'm afraid of not being liked or afraid of being judged. So I stay focused on myself, I lose curiosity for others, and therefore I don't make many close friends. So that was my realization. And what I wrote after that was, I need to think not what will this person give me, but what can I give to this person? And in my notes, I say, I'm realizing how self-centered I've been. So this knowledge is really hitting right now. Wow. I think when I wrote that part, I was thinking, you know, what goes on in my head when I'm reaching out to friends randomly? And what does go on in my head is, oh, I should probably reach out to friends so I can keep my friends, I can keep active friends in my life. What a I don't even know what the word is, but like, there's a difference between that view and the view of, oh, I'm going to reach out to this friend because I want to know how she's doing about X. You know, that would show concern and curiosity and like putting the focus on my friend. And I've realized even when I reach out to friends, the focus is still on me. It's like, oh, I need to keep a certain amount of friends at a time. Let me reach out to this person. That's self-centered. You know, I'm going to reach out to this person whenever I'm in the mood to be social. That's another thought I've had. Like, oh, I don't feel like talking. And if a friend called me, I'll be like, oh, can I call you this weekend? Even if I have 5 minutes to pick up the phone and be like, hey, what's up? Let's catch up for a few minutes, but I just have work in five, so let's plan a longer call for the weekend. You know, what's up? And I've learned this from Andrew because he answers the phone every single time someone calls, and friends included. He also has a lot of friends who I love and admire and I think are amazing people. You know, I've realized the quality of his friendships versus mine is drastically different. And so as I'm reading this book and as I'm going through the self-centeredness and realizing where I'm actually coming from in my personal relationships, I then ask myself, okay, well, what would make a good friend that creates strong interpersonal relationships? I ask myself, you know, what does Andrew do that I don't do? And as I'm reading the book with that question in mind, they start explaining when you change your thought to, are they judging me? Are they going to think this about me? To, I wonder how I can make them feel good right now. What can I give to this person right now? Going in with the mentality of you're going to be concerned for others, you're going to give to others, and you're going to share with others and show gratitude for others. And when something reminds you of someone, reach out to them and tell them if you know it will make them happy. If you know it's a way to connect with them. I was talking to Andrew because he came in as I was having these mindfuck moments and he was like, oh my God, I didn't realize you were getting like mindfucked over here by this book while I'm sleeping. Like, what are you learning? I told him, I realize what you do that I don't do. And all my life, I didn't think of the actions. I thought I feel this way because I'm an introvert, and I'm an introvert because as a kid, it was hard to make friends. And therefore, I never asked myself, what can I do today to strengthen my relationships? What can I do to change my story, not use it as an excuse for the rest of my life and be unhappy about it? And what Andrew was telling me was how he cultivates strong friendships is by being vulnerable. And he said, every single one of my friends who you've met, who's one of my closest friends, and he has like 15 close friends, and they are people he's constantly in communication with. And they're all amazing. I love them, men and women. What he was saying was, every single one of those people I've shared something with that was vulnerable. You know, they helped me through a struggle. I helped them through a struggle. You know, I had their back when they really needed someone, or they had my back. I went out of my way to show gratitude for them multiple times. He's just sharing the effort that he puts in. You know, I call them up. I make sure I talk to all of them, or at least check in once every other week, something like that, where there's like some time frame of checking in. And even meeting new people, you know, when we've met so many people here in Austin, and I just watch Andrew host people at our place or in the lounge or at different places doing different things. And people show up and he creates a group chat and we stay engaged and we have jokes and we share things. And before you know it, we're so much closer with these people. I'm just like, whoa, like, how do you just do this? You know, don't you feel that? Don't you feel that? But then I notice I'm talking about the feelings and letting the feelings dictate the action, not just taking the action and seeing where it goes. And Andrew says, like, you know, it does feel like a risk when you share with people you've just met, you know, when you really open yourself up and you show genuine curiosity, or you genuinely share something about you that maybe you, you know, is a little more deep, but it fits the conversation and it, you know, it could help the person. So it's genuine. When you do that, there is some risk, because every so often there might be someone who doesn't react the way you want to, but that is so far and in between. And he said, you know, I have a hard time seeing that people have malicious intent, or that people are really hard to connect with when you're kind and loving towards them, because all people want is kindness and love. They want to be treated with kindness and they want to be loved. And if you can communicate that way with people you just met or people you're growing your relationship with, they're not going to want to leave your relationship. They're going to want to grow it, and then you'll grow it together. And I'm reading this other book at the same time that told me that the opposite of stress isn't peace, it's kindness. And that alone was really interesting to me, because kindness, there's so many ways to act on kindness when it comes to interpersonal relationships, which are the source of all of our unhappiness or happiness, right? So when I think of that, and I think that the main hormone for stress is cortisol, right? And the main hormone for kindness is oxytocin. Oxytocin is a bonding, love, healing hormone. And it just makes so much sense. When I think of peace, I just think of meditating. I don't think of being interpersonal and sharing and connecting with others. But when I think of kindness, like, my heart like fills up with like that, aw, that feeling, which oxytocin usually brings. But think about it. Like, think about how much better you would feel if you're all stressed out and you had someone do something really nice for you, or you were able to make someone's day and they were so grateful for that. Like, how much tension that would relieve in you versus just having a meditation session, which is still very helpful, but kindness more so than peace is a great way to relieve tension and to even help you build your interpersonal relationships, which are the backbone of everything as we're talking about. So yeah, I've just realized all these things that help you act on kindness and help you act towards being a great friend. And I realized I haven't been actively doing them consistently. It's not that I haven't been. I don't think I'm a mean person. I don't think I'm unkind. But I also don't believe I go out of my way to be kind or out of my way to put in effort into my relationships. I more so do it when it's convenient. And that was something that made me realize it's coming from this self-centered place. And that's why I've called myself an introvert for so long. And, you know, I've used that as my excuse. Oh, I'm an introvert. Oh, I'm not really like into talking with people that much. And that's bullshit because I know deep down I do love people. I wouldn't do what I do for a living if I didn't love people and find them interesting and enjoy talking to them about deep things. Like the subject matter I talk about is deep. I hear things that people have never shared with anyone else, you know? So it was just so fascinating to see what I've been tolerating as far as my friendships go and realizing, wow, like these are not, there's so many of these that are not real friendships compared to Andrew's friends. And not to play a comparison game, but just realizing what a drastic difference it is to see how close friends interact or how they could potentially interact and how I wasn't being that close friend to attract those types of people. Ugh. Anyway, this is probably one of the most helpful things I've ever learned in my life. And it was really cool because this is something I've struggled with since a kid. And I only realize now that I've been giving myself an excuse for it over and over and over every single year of my life until now, where I'm like, wait, why don't I just change? Why don't I just change these actions instead of putting labels on myself? Like, you're an introvert. You don't do that. You're not the type of person who does that. You had this past where it was hard to make friends, so that's why you're this way. No. I never want to listen to those words again. I'm sure I'll hear them again, and I have, but I don't want to listen to them because they're bullshit and they're not helping me move towards where I want to go. Since I started reading this book, I've been more aware of, like, you know, us at the festival and Andrew, we went with this group of like 30 people, all amazing people, so much fun, so loving. I mean, there's a lot of loving people at festivals for a reason. We were all pretty loving, but they're just genuine good people because we met them the night before too. And Andrew's talking to every single person and connecting with them in these little ways. And I'm just like looking at him, feeling a little intimidated, honestly, because I'm like, how is he fucking doing this? You know, like everywhere we go, he just like finds a way to connect with people who he doesn't know. And they all seem to love him. And, you know, it was a little intimidation. It was a little jealousy. And then I caught myself telling myself, you're not the type of person who does that. You just look at the stage. I just like being in my zone and being into the music by myself. Like, I don't want to get distracted with people. And I heard myself actually say that. And as soon as I heard that thought, I was like, whoa, that's such bullshit. And it was like crazy because here I am at this festival, you know, where we're all like having fun regardless. And no one would ever know that I was thinking of this shit. But I actually heard that voice and I was immediately calling it out as bullshit because I'm like, that's not true. Like, I like to be in my head alone. Like, no, that's what I've been doing. And like, sure, I'm more comfortable doing that. But do I want to do more of what Andrew's doing? Yeah, I do. So what do I have to do more of to feel free to do that? What should I do? And, even that night, I was being more mindful of striking conversation and getting out of my little zone where I have to like be by myself most of the time. You know, I was talking to people, but like hardly as much as he was. So it was a good indicator of like how, you know, to myself I can be, and realizing I don't want to be that way. That's the most important thing here, is like, I don't want to be that way. There are some people who do, and that's totally fine. But if I realize I'm doing something I don't want to do and giving myself an excuse for it, that's what's not okay. That's what makes me feel like, whoa, okay, pull back here and realize what you're telling yourself. You're putting a limit on yourself because you're scared. That's all. So what can you do? You're in a safe space. Everyone here is friends. You could say basically whatever you want to say and you'll be fine. Then the next morning I read more of the book where I was like, oh shit, like this is like me at the concert and that was Andrew. Like there's such a difference and like, holy shit. And then since, you know, his friend was staying with us, his friend Anna stayed over because she was doing the South by Southwest thing. So she spends the night and Andrew is at the gym. I would usually say, oh, I need to finish working on some stuff, but I'll see you in the morning, you know, and just go to my room. Because that's what Steph, who works late and is an introvert, and that's what I told myself I am. And that's also what led me to not have strong interpersonal relationships. So I right away realized what I was about to do. And instead I said, okay, it's like fucking 9:30. What kind of work am I going to get done right now? Anna's sitting on the couch. She's by herself, like on her laptop. I don't know if she's working, so this is kind of risky, but I'm going to go start up a conversation. And I don't really know Anna. So this was totally out of my comfort zone. And it felt like I was taking action toward being a person who prioritizes getting to know people, getting curious, and strengthening interpersonal relationships with people I know are good people. So I walk over and I just ask her if she wants some tea because I was making tea. And then I ask her a question and I start seriously coming from the place of just, who cares about me? Let me get to know Anna. And when I had that mindset, it led us into an awesome conversation that turned out to be like almost 2 hours. And Andrew got home from the gym and he was like, are you two becoming best friends? And she was like, yes, you know, and it was like so fulfilling for me because I'm like, wow, like this was such a great conversation. I didn't know her. Like I hardly knew anything about her before this conversation. And now I feel close to her. And it was because I caught myself going into my old habits and I told myself what I wanted to do different based on what I've learned. Based on what I've learned from Andrew and from this book and knowing what my goal is and the type of friend and person I want to be. And I was so proud of myself for that because I know initially, naturally, I didn't want to do it. That would not have been what I did if I didn't learn and choose that. So we end up going to bed. In the morning, she brings me a gift card. It was my birthday the next morning. And she brings me a gift card from the coffee place downstairs and gives me a hug. And I was like, oh my God, like you're so awesome. Like, and it was just more validation of me moving in the right direction doing that. It's like when you open yourself up to people, they appreciate you. And it was just great. You know, and then we went out to dinner with some friends and new people we met the other night. And I was telling myself, all right, I know naturally you wouldn't look these people in the eye and ask a lot of questions, but try to be more curious about them. And I did. So now I have that new voice working for me. Even yesterday, you know, I saw that there's a concert happening of a DJ I really like. Naturally, I would never make plans. Andrew's going to be out of town. So I hit up some friends and asked them to go. And they were friends I knew a bunch of them wouldn't want to go, but I was like, just ask, just do it. Like, if you want to be this type of person, just take the action, deal with the feelings later. Like, it's okay. And I'm going with two friends tomorrow. And that's really exciting. So there's been all these little moments of taking action since reading this book and having these revelations. And it's really cool. Like, I'm so, like I said, I'm proud of myself. I'm learning what I've been tolerating in my relationships for so long up until this point, especially around friendships. What have I been tolerating? And who have I been? What type of friend have I been to tolerate these types of relationships? Not a very good one, you know, because you attract the types of people close to who you are. So it just was like, wow, I need to change. I'm the common denominator. And that's powerful. That's empowering to realize that the reason your life is the way that it is because of you. It's because of how you're looking at it and therefore what actions you're taking. And too often we let the feelings get in the way, right? And you think, oh, I'm this type of person. I don't do that. Or I always feel this way about that. So no. But why are we letting feelings rule our lives? You know, there's been plenty of times where we've been nervous about something and we were like, oh, I don't know if I should do it. And then we did it and had a fucking blast. Like I get when there's a gut reaction, you got to trust your gut, right? If something feels off or not right, then don't do it. But we too often wait to feel a certain way in order to do something that's a little scary for us. And I encourage you to just start doing, have a goal in mind and then start taking actions that connect to that goal. Don't let the feelings get in your way too much. You know, dick-related issues especially, the anxiety becomes such a huge block that it's like the anxiety is not even real. It's not even real. And you're acting like it is. And you're acting like you can't do something because of it when you're choosing it. And it's not real. It's not a tangible thing that's in your way. Like, sure, like your mentality is powerful. Definitely is. There are mental blocks. Just because there are mental blocks doesn't mean you can't move through them. You can. But you got to call them out and you got to know what actions you have to take. Because if you have no actions to take and only are feeling anxiety, then what are you going to do? Naturally, you're going to stay in that anxiety. Yeah, I just want you guys to have ownership over your life, especially over your relationships, so you feel a sense of freedom. Because freedom does come from ownership. Like, I did not like learning that I'm a self-centered friend. That was not fun. It was kind of embarrassing sharing with Andrew, but it was also freeing because I'm like, holy shit, this is why this always happens to me. And because of me, and I can change it. So that means if I change it, this won't happen to me. Something else will happen to me. And that's the best case scenario to be in, right? Like, you'd want to be like, oh, I'm this way because of this person and this person will never change. Therefore, I can't change and I'll live this way forever. No, that's the opposite of empowering. When you figure something out about you and you realize this is me, I'm the problem, it's me. This one. But yeah, when you figure out it's you, which most of the time it is, almost all the time it is, then you're able to take new actions and get a new result. So I think too often we let things get in our way. And there's nothing wrong, by the way, with feeling like you're a type of way. Like, it's fine for you to say, well, I feel like I am an introvert. Okay, that's fine then. If you want to identify being an introvert, cool. Just don't let it stop you from doing what you want to do in life. That's it. For me, I was using being an introvert as an excuse as to why I couldn't surround myself with a lot of great close friends. And I want a lot of great close friends. So therefore, me telling myself I'm an introvert and using it as an excuse as to why I can't get my goal was not working for me. It's not healthy for me. But if you are totally happy with the relationships you have and you're like, yeah, I'm an introvert. I have a couple close friends. That's it. I like to spend a lot of alone time and I'm super happy about it. And it's my goal. It's been my goal. Like, that's my goal for life. Then good. Good for you. That's awesome. And then you should keep live in that way. You know what I mean? But the book talks about being inferior versus having an inferiority complex, which are two different things. It's okay to feel inferior because that actually promotes growth. So if you're thinking, oh, like, I don't feel good enough for that yet, or I don't feel good enough at this skill, or I'm not as equipped for, like, whatever, you feel inferior. But you realize it can push you to do better, to work at that skill harder. And you're like, you know, I'm not the best yet, but I'm not as good as this person, but I'm going to keep working at it. So that's you. You could feel inferior, but you could still have that growth mindset of knowing you're still going to aim for your goal and you're going to hit it and believing that. Then there's inferiority complex. When you have an inferiority complex, it's using inferiority as an excuse as to why you can't grow. It's saying, oh, well, I feel too inferior. I'm never good enough. I'm never going to get to where that person is. And it's just too hard for me. It's too hard for people like me. It's too hard for people who have a past like me. Therefore, I'll always be inferior. That's an inferiority complex. That's not helping you. So see how it's okay to still feel shy, to feel introverted, to feel guilty, to feel shame. Like, it's okay to feel anything. But if you allow those feelings to prevent you from being the person you want to be or living the life you want to live, that's when it's not working for you. And you got to realize that, because you can live life and think you're doing it right and have something like, there's like, I don't know why this thing is never working out for me, but whatever, I'll just be grateful for my life. That was me with my friendships up until literally now, like up until like a few fucking weeks ago, which is mind-boggling to me. Like, I thought I did so much growing, basically all the super deep growing I needed to do as an adult, and now I just had to kind of cruise. No, I just unlocked some huge, huge block that I've been living by because I've been using it as an excuse, and I didn't realize it until this book, The Courage to Be Disliked. And, you know, speaking of being disliked, it says, the fact that there are people who do not think well of you is proof that you are living in freedom, because freedom is being disliked by others. Whew. Freedom is being disliked by others. That means you're putting yourself out there enough to, you know, have people potentially not jive with you, not feel connected to you, and you being okay. That's freedom. And when you keep yourself locked up in a shell and you don't share a lot about yourself out of fear that you'll be judged, that's not freedom. That's you closing yourself up. So when you're fully yourself, there will 100% be people that don't like you. 100%. By you being exactly who you are and showing that, there will 100% be people who don't like you. And that's freedom, because you're being who you really are. And you're not letting people who dislike you get in your way or use them as an excuse as to why you can't grow or do the things you want to do. And, you know, another cool thought, because I know at the age of 30 or later, there's a lot of people who say, you know, well, it's really hard to make friends as you're older. And that's something I always believed too, up until right now. It's not harder when you're older to make really close friends. Andrew's my best friend. I met him 3 years ago. And there are two women I've met here since I moved to Austin in October of 2023. And these girls are like my sisters already. Shout out to my real sis. No one can replace you, Maria. but yeah, it's like, it is possible. And I think the only thing that makes us feel like it's not possible to make new friends is the fact that we're not putting consistent effort into our interpersonal relationships. We're not being vulnerable consistently by sharing parts of us that help us get deeper. We're not showing gratitude for the people, like expressing gratitude, how we appreciate our friends. We're not connecting with them on different levels of, you know, planning things, meeting up, having experiences with them. We're not lending out a helping hand to help them out and show kindness towards them in little or big ways. And that's why, you know, you get caught up in these routines of life and you think as an adult, okay, I'm in this routine. This is who I am. This is me. But that's not necessarily the case. You can change. You can grow. And this is actually why a lot of people end up breaking up. One person continues growing, the other person doesn't grow with them, and their values are just completely misaligned. This happens romantically and with friendships. So there are clearly still people choosing to grow as adults and choosing to make more friends and to deepen those relationships and work at it and know that it takes effort. You know, I think we don't realize how much effort it takes. Because for those people who did meet friends at a younger age, maybe still have friends from school, high school or college, you know, you had less responsibilities during that time. You had all these experiences that were probably crazy and, you know, all over the place. So you had a foundation to help it out, to help you out and make it a bit easier. As an adult, you don't really have that. So we just automatically assume it's so much harder when really it's not. It's just a different environment, takes different kind of effort. And that's all it is consistent effort, which I realized for so long I wasn't making. I realize now that for so long I wasn't making consistent effort with my friendships. Whew. Anyway, I feel like this is like a diary entry, but I also wanted to make it personal to help you reflect on where you are in your relationships with your friends, which are really important to have, you know, as a married guy, as a guy with a girlfriend, as a single guy, you guys need friendships. You need friends. So important. That's something I've learned most from Andrew is about friendship, and he's really inspired me in a lot of ways to work on that. And this book was just the icing on the cake. But if you don't have friends to open up to and share with, and you're constantly going to your partner for every single thing, it can be too much. And it's also not fair to your partner. It's not fair to you. You know, you need some solid relationships in your life, at least, you know, 2 to 3 really solid friendships where you could share anything to, you know, you could get advice. You can talk things through. I know when Andrew has hard times in our relationship, he'll go to a couple friends, like 2 to 3 friends, and tell them about it and ask for advice. And I love that. I love that he does that because I know that he's not stuck in his head struggling. He's opening up and sharing, and he's getting feedback from people who I trust and admire. And I know want the best for him. You know that most of your female partners are turning to their girlfriends and sharing things and getting advice. That's much, much more common for women than it is men. So you guys need people to turn to. It's so important for your happiness, for your relationship, for your self-fulfillment. And I hope that this podcast gave you some insight as to the type of friend that you might be based on the actions you take or based on the feelings that or experiences from the past you feel limit you. And definitely read the book, The Courage to Be Disliked. I highly recommend. I'm not even done with it. I'm like a little over halfway. But like I said, I read it like once a week and I just sit with the lessons for that week It's too intense for me. That is it, guys. We will leave it here. Sending you love, strength, and the courage to be disliked. Because when you have the courage to be disliked, you are free. Have an amazing morning, evening, or night, wherever you are in the world. We'll talk to you soon.
I hope this episode helped you. If it did, I would love for you to leave me an iTunes review. It would mean the world to me. You can also screenshot your favorite episodes and tag me on Instagram at Steph Ganowski. And before I go, remember, your sex life is as good as you make it out to be. Until next time.